programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment, using proven evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox inpatient and outpatient options. You'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio. My name is Gary Hendler. I'm here with my co-host, Mark Sigmund, and we're going to give you another very interesting show again today. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. And before we start the show, Mark, I'd like to first thank some of the great radio stations across America that carry Clean and Sober Radio. And they are WWNN out of West Palm Beach, Florida, WHFS out of Tampa, Florida, and KDWN out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And we are right now broadcasting live out of the studios of WWDB out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, Barry. Gary.
Gary,
I've been
yeah.
talking to this guy, Barry, all week. But Gary, I'm doing great. From the cold tundra of Philadelphia, right?
It is cold, man.
It sure is.
It is cold. A couple legal stuff before we get going, like we like to do. Oregon ramps up its clemency, record relief, and resentencing programs. So it appears that the new governor, Kate Brown, has issued more pardons and commutations than any other Oregon governor in recent history. She has given she's hundreds of them she has given out because she believes that people, you know, are should have a second chance. According to Eliza Kaplan, the director of Criminal Justice Reform Clinic at Lewis and Clark University, in addition, Governor Brown has signed two bills into law this year that will significantly improve access to judicial remedies for people with a conviction record. And the source of this is the Collateral Consequences Resource Center that we talk about almost weekly, that state by state, this organization gives us the information of what we in the recovery community are entitled to instead of being discriminated against.
Yeah, I'll tell you, as a clinician, one of the things I run into so many times is somebody comes into treatment and they have a felony record on them. And it's so hard because they can't get jobs a lot of times. They can't find jobs. And, you know, you see people with years clean struggle in this area. And I love this story. We talked about it last week of redemption. It's like, hey, here's this chance to really change your life around. And to have things like pardons and things are good news.
Well, you know, and you know, we'll dovetail into this story that I got also from the Collateral Consequences Resource. Let me see. This one is recidivism.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not as bad as everybody says. Researchers at the RAND Corporation have proposed a radical new approach to measuring recidivism risks that raise questions about decades of received truth about people who are over and over going back into prison. And it's not true. This guy and his colleagues were able to examine a large data set from the North Carolina Department of Public Safety to see what is indicated about the frequency with which people who have had convictions are reconvicted. The majority of individuals with a conviction do not, I repeat, do not have subsequent convictions, A person's likelihood of reoffending declines rapidly as more time passes without a conviction. After a sufficient period without a new conviction, even people initially deemed to be at the highest risk of reoffending aren't doing it anymore.
I'll tell you, that's good news, Gary, because I always thought it was the other way around.
Me too. I did too. You know, yeah. I did too. Oh, we're stretching. Okay. So we got a lot to talk about today, and we'll be back in about a minute.
Sounds good.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert, caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campus in Devon, PA, and Mays Landing, New Jersey, they tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY. Recovery today.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And we're back.
We're back.
You know, Mark, we talk for years now. We've been talking about, you know, people getting sober and getting clean. I don't think we really talk much about how do you get clean. How do you get sober? Where are the resources? You know, the question is, how do I get treatment? Can anybody who wants treatment get help? How does someone find an appropriate path to a recovery program? Can somebody get treatment if they don't have insurance? I mean, these are major questions that, you know, when somebody finally gets to the point where they're saying to themselves, yeah, I got to go into treatment for whatever reason, they need a clear path to get there immediately.
They really do, because one of the things that you see is there's only a temporary period of time where somebody has that willingness. And when that lightning's striking, you definitely need to have the treatment lined up. And you can see how so many people lose hope because they can't find treatment when they're really struggling, you know, and when they're finally saying, I want to get clean, because it takes a while to kind of go through what we call the stages of change. And that's like where you go through the process of coming to that willingness to actually want to get clean.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. When I, and this is back 39 years, when I wanted to, I didn't want to get clean, but I was forced to, whatever. Yeah. I didn't know. My parents didn't know how to get it. And as recently as about 8 years ago, I had a family member that needed treatment. And the problem is many of the doctors have no idea where to send patients to get treatment.
Yeah, then you run into a whole nother, a bunch of other issues such as deductibles. You know, you'll get some people want to get treatment and they're like, wow, I'm going to end up with a $5,000 bill because I have a deductible now with my insurance.
Absolutely. Listen, to our listeners, if you've just joined us, Mark and I are talking about different ways to get into treatment. And there are plenty of ways to get into treatment. And why don't you give us a call? Let us know your experience. How you got into treatment at 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306.
Well, and, you know, another part of this is a lot of people don't know how to plug in with AA and NA, 12-step programs, and right. Are scared to go.
Look, we talk about that several times. I was nervous. I remember you told me the night you went to that meeting, You're scared to get out of the car.
Oh, I was at the meeting on the mall. It was like a Saturday. I still remember that first meeting. I remember sitting in my car for like 15 minutes trying to get the courage up just to go in.
Absolutely. But, you know, listen, there are resources out there, okay? I mean, we have three of them that back us, Recovery Centers of America, Acadia Healthcare, and Jefferson Hospital. But look, guys and girls, right now, if you're sitting at home and you're listening to us or watching maybe, go to the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. That's a national number. They will answer the phone. They will help you. Another way to do it, go online if you have a computer or whatever. Alcoholics Anonymous, find a meeting. Because meetings, everybody, are free. And that's you know, Mark and I are going to discuss different ways of getting into treatment, getting help. But meetings are one way, and they're free.
Yeah, and you don't even have to be clean yet to go. The only requirement to go is a desire to stop. And I think it's just important for the people that are sitting out there that are struggling, that might have gone through relapse after relapse, just to know that you can get this. You can get clean. I've seen it all the time as a clinician where somebody, the trick is they just keep trying. You know, and finally the puzzle comes together,
right,
and they get clean.
And that's why we need the insurance companies to keep putting the money out to help people. And, you know, I just wanted to bring this up. You know, getting clean, you know, it's not just for you. You know, you have screwed up your family in many incredible ways. You know, you have young kids. You want to see your young kids watch you stumbling around the house. You want to see your young kids punching your wife or a wife punching their husband. You know, this addiction encompasses everybody.
It really does. I mean, it's called a family disease for a reason. And a lot of people are in denial. You know, they're having this problem going on. And we were just talking about this last night in group. And they're thinking, well, I can just reel this in and learn to moderate. But then they've tried that a million times before, right?
Yeah.
And so it's important to really look at the problem and, you know, look at, hey, do I lose control over my using? Does it cause problems in my life? And a lot of people say, particularly in males, they point at their job and they say, well, I'm still functioning because I'm holding a job. Now,
right,
their family could be falling apart and
right,
they could have all these problems going on, but they're like, I still have a job.
Yeah, you know, that's the interesting part of this disease. You can rationalize anything.
Oh.
You know, you can talk yourself into anything, which I certainly did.
Me,
you know,
too.
I made up stories in my head that you can't even believe that I thought that way. But our minds are so twisted with this disease and with this poison that we put into our bodies.
You lose your perspective.
You
lose. Now, Gary, I'm always interested in this because this comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have to hit bottom to get clean, like a really deep bottom?
Well, how deep is the bottom? I mean,
that's always the question.
I mean, we do talk about you don't really need to hit the bottom, but maybe some people need to hit the bottom. But then when you hit the bottom, is there a bottom under the bottom?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And it's like, can you hit a high bottom, right? And make the change. And I think that's possible.
I do too. I definitely do. There's no question about it. You know, again, if you've just joined us, Mark and I are talking about ways to get in the treatment. There are many ways to get in. Give us a call. Give us your experience at 1-888-329-3306. Also, you know, we're talking about Alcohol Anonymous. There's Narcotics Anonymous also.
Yes.
Now, you go on na.org, find a meeting near you, and both of these websites that I've just mentioned, they're by state.
Yeah.
And so if you're in Nevada, if you're in Florida, if you're in Pennsylvania, pick your state and they will give you meetings to go to.
Yeah. I was down in Florida on a trip and I went to some Florida meetings and I loved them. Like, it was such a cool community and the way the meetings were down there. Then, you know, going out, it's all sunny out.
I was just going to say,
I mean, it was awesome. And don't be afraid of it because everybody will try to help you. Like, that's the beauty of it.
It is. And, you know, it's easy for us to say we both in long-term treatment. Don't waste your years, man.
Yeah.
Get this done. Think of yourself. Think of your family.
Yeah.
Just think of the long term. You know, if you don't get treatment, you could run out of, what do they say, runway? When you're dead, there's no treatment.
Yeah. I'm sure there are people right now in Vegas, too, right, that are struggling and are hearing this show and, you know, things look dark, I'm sure. And that's the problem is you get caught in that place where you think, I can't change. And sure. And that's not true. You know, that's not true. You know, it's about getting the help and, you know, seeking powers greater than our own willpower.
Yes, yes.
Because that failed so dramatically, didn't it?
Yeah, it certainly did. And try to stop with the excuses. You know, listen, I'm going to stop right after Thanksgiving. I used to do this. I'm going to stop.
Oh, me too.
I'm going to stop after Christmas. You know what? My New Year's resolution is going to be I'm going to stop. Guess what? I never stop.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I used to do that too. I would set a date and I'd say, yeah, I'm going to make this change by this date. And then I would get to that date and it wouldn't happen.
So, well, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How did you get sober?
I went right to meetings.
Did you?
Yes. I didn't go to rehab. I was actually working with a therapist. It was a drug and alcohol therapist who told me, you need meetings. And I thought to myself, you're crazy. Yeah. Like that's what I thought when he told me this. And then I remember going and getting about 16 or 17 days clean just by willpower. And I'll never forget, it was like a U2 concert or something. And I went down there and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stay clean. And one of my friends had pot with them.
Yeah.
And they started passing it around the car. Yeah. And it was like, I just went right for it. And it started the whole thing over again.
Sure.
And I remember going back to this guy, the guy that had suggested going to meetings, in tears, you know, literally in tears, like, what do I do? Because I, you know, finally I was at that point of sort of like getting desperate, you know, and he suggested going to meetings.
Did you know what a meeting was? I didn't know what a meeting was.
I did, but I didn't know that they were for me. I mean, I thought, you know, I was just talking to my friend about this in recovery. I think none of us would have dreamed in high school that, you know, one of my good buddies, the guy that I called you his name earlier, Barry, you know, he's got we, you know, years clean. And we were talking about how we would have dreamed in high school that we would, because we used to run together, you know, that we would both end up in the program. And I don't think anybody ever expects that.
Look, I didn't know what the program was in my 20s. I never heard of it. I thought that, who knows? I thought they were talking about AAA, the automotive club.
Yeah.
And I was already a member of that, so I didn't understand why I had to go to AA. Anyway, it's a scary thing. Look, I have another note here. Another way to get clean is go to prison.
Yeah, I've actually seen that a lot, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, right, that they got clean. But that is another way. And sometimes I've had people that really struggled, and they get caught in the legal system and they're on probation and they're being tested and everything. And they got clean that way. They needed that sort of oversight and that motivation, external motivation, just to get this thing.
Yeah, it's too bad it has to get to that point. And, you know, if we want to start talking about the penal system, I think that, here we are.
Oh, we're on.
Are we here now, Brad?
We're here.
All right.
I was missing our people.
Well, a little technical difficulties.
Yeah.
What was it?
Sorry, guy. Just a technical Facebook issue.
Technical Facebook issue.
Oh, that's a good phrase. That's a
That
good
is a good
yeah,
phrase.
Yeah, what does that actually mean? Something.
It was in the cloud.
In the cloud.
It was in the cloud. Yeah,
so,
I got you.
So. Well, let me look. Suzanne Duncan's watching. Michael Shoemaker, C. Rieger is watching. Hello, fellas. Come on, guys. We're back on.
Didn't you feel weird without this?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit weird. Yeah. Like we didn't have our friends here that tune in every week and put comments on the message board. And I felt weird.
And you know what's wonderful?
Yeah.
You know, you hinted that, you know, we never thought we would be sitting around a table. We've had so many guests here, and I've had a lot of my friends that were really into it, just like I was. Right. We never thought we would get clean, but it is out there, and we say there's no delivery and there's no drive-through, but you can absolutely get clean. And, you know, if people, you know, if you're in a situation right now and you don't know what to do, call us now, 1-888-329-3306, and Mark and I will help you get into treatment. I don't care where you are. We will help you.
And tell us how hard it's been for you, right?
Yeah.
We could start there. You just give us a call. Let us know what's going on. Yeah. You know, and let us try to help you.
Yeah, I mean, let us be, you know, rehabs, we're another resource here. And that's why we're doing this broadcast. We are another resource to help people get out of the life, the horrible life that they're living. And you can. Mark and I are an absolute example. I can just speak for myself. I never thought, and I don't think anybody else had any faith in me being able to change my life around.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about your story, Gary, I always think, whoa, like you got so much of a, your story's crazy.
It is crazy.
Sorry to put it that
way.
It's crazy. Your story is nuts.
I mean, everybody's story is crazy.
But yours is particularly
craziness.
Yes, yours is particularly there.
You know, I thought about, this is really weird. I was last night before I went to bed, I was thinking about recovery and the rewards of recovery. And I said to myself, besides my kids being born, the biggest reward of my recovery was last January 20th when I was pardoned by the President of the United States.
It was one of the most shocking days of my life, Gary, out about that.
It's a day that will go down in infamy.
Yes, it is.
Can
you tell us about that day? I know it brings up emotions and things.
Well, the connection to the show is it's rewards. Now look, obviously most people aren't going to get the reward of a presidential pardon, but there are so many rewards that we get for being clean. You can't imagine. So that morning I woke up. I knew that the departing president was going to give pardons out. And I didn't think I was going to get one, although I did put an application in to the Department of Justice. I
got it interviewed, right, by
FBI Secret Service. And that morning I saw, I want to say, who got pardons? Because I'm not getting one. And I saw the list of those individuals, and I saw my name.
Man.
And I went, I don't know what, I think I blacked out, to tell you the truth. You know?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. The TV stations came to the house, and blah, 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 blah. And I was the only person in Pennsylvania to be pardoned. That's a reward of recovery.
And for people that don't know, Gary had been talking about this pardon, trying to get a pardon ever since I met him. And just wanted this sort of as that peace of mind to know that, you know, redemption happens.
Exactly.
You know?
You're
that
right.
Peace of mind.
And as you said earlier, people need to be given a second chance.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying a 10th and 12th and 14th. Yeah. Second chance, maybe a third chance. Because until you have walked in somebody's shoes, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what has brought them to their knees with an addiction.
Yeah. And you were clean when this came out, right? When you were actually clean a year or so.
When?
When you finally got arrested for the prelude clinic.
I was clean for 2 years. Because I had gotten out, and the thing operated without me. Yeah, and I was arrested like everybody else. You know, so I think sometimes we think when we get into recovery, hey, everything that happened in the past, everybody will forgive it. Don't worry about it.
None of us have any skeletons in the closet, let me tell you.
Right.
Nobody in recovery, right?
Absolutely true. Again, if you're just joining Mark and me, I think that's correct.
It's I.
No, it's me.
It's
me. We're talking about, you know, how do we get into recovery? It's so important. There's so many different ways. We're going to go through it again. Whatever works for you is how you should get into recovery. There's not one way to do it at all. So stand by. We'll be back in about, 60 seconds.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015. And I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Mark, what do you think about medical-assisted treatments?
I think that it saves a ton of lives.
Let's tell our viewers or our listeners what that exactly means, okay?
Yeah, so medically-assisted treatment is using medication such as Suboxone, which will stop any kind of withdrawal symptoms and also help cravings. But there's a bunch of them out there. Another one's Vivitrol, which is often used for opiates and alcohol. And that serves as just a blocker, you know, where somebody, you know, they can't get high when they do it. So why do it? So I'll tell you, I think about this issue a lot because there's a lot of controversy around it. And I'll tell you, as a clinician over the years, if we didn't have these things such as Suboxone, I can't imagine the amount of clients we would have lost to overdose with fentanyl out there.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, the progression of the thinking of these facilities. When I went into rehab, you were not allowed to have anything in your body. I don't care if you were psychotic and you needed psychotic medication, you had to be totally clean. It has changed, thank goodness.
Yes.
But with my opinion is, with MAT, you also need some kind of therapy. If it's not individual therapy, you need group therapy, meetings.
Yes.
You need all that stuff, not just the meds.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you're hitting it there because it's easy to get complacent sometimes on the medications. And but where you particularly see this is with young adults, where they don't have the runway anymore to go out there and relapse with fentanyl out there.
Right,
so
right.
It's sometimes it's a harm reduction kind of model at that point. Now, I've seen a ton of people where they get on the medications and then eventually taper off of them. I've seen people stay on them for a long, long time. But the thing is, they're alive. That's the big part of this.
Right. Do you think there's a conscious or unconscious thought, probably with the younger people, that I have some kind of medication I'm using to help me? I don't need anything else.
Absolutely. And also what the thought is, which again has caused so many problems, is, well, I can still take benzodiazepines if I'm on Suboxone or Vivitrol, and, you know, or I can, you know, I'm still going to, you know, do my other different drugs. And sometimes you see that. It's so hard with the young adults, because I was talking to my wife about this. Like, I can't even imagine, like, some of the stupid things I did at like 22 or 23. And, you know, they say the brain doesn't really mature completely until you're like 25 or 26. I believe that.
Yeah.
You know, so you get these guys, they come in and they got a full blown heroin addiction and they're 20 years old. And if you don't have MAT, most likely they're going to die, you know, in terms of from opiates, if they're hooked on opiates with fentanyl out there.
Yeah, it's no joke anymore. Like when we were coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, my drug of choice was Quaalude. I never, ever heard of anybody dying from Quaaludes.
Yeah, because even, I mean, if you look at the numbers, like in the early 2000s, like 2000, 2001, you know, we're talking like, I'm not sure exactly what the number, maybe somebody on our message board could look it up, but something like 15,000, you know, deaths a year from drugs. And now we're looking at 92,000 a year?
That's just reported.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's 125,000.
Oh.
You know?
Hands down.
Because if you die in a car accident, usually it doesn't say as a result of an overdose.
Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, you get a lot of people that, you know, they're using heroin and they nod out at the wheel, you know, and they crash.
Right.
So there's so many other ways, and but I'll tell you, but with, you know, I love the total abstinence, and of course it's our favorite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's sometimes when you have to meet somebody at where they're at so they survive.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You know, some hardliners will disagree, and we'd like to know what you know our audience thinks. call us at 1-888-329-3306. Let us know how you got into treatment. And if you disagree with Mark or me, it's me.
I.
Mark and I?
Yes. No. Yes.
No. I want to tell you something. Mark Willing just said, what did he just say? It's Mark and me.
Oh, gosh. And maybe I am.
And
wrong.
He's a genius. So, Mark and me. Thank you, Mark Willing.
And tell us what you think of MAT, because this is a controversial area.
Yeah, it's medical assisted treatment. That means it's more than therapy. They are chemicals going into your body for different reasons in order to make your transition into recovery easier.
And some of them, like Suboxone and methadone, are still physically addictive. So that's the...
I wanted to ask you about methadone.
Yeah.
People usually are on that for... They could be on that for decades, can't they?
Yes, they can.
Why?
Well, because, you know, you'll get somebody that they've been using opiates for so long that their brain has really, really changed in a lot of ways. And, you know, they get on methadone, and sometimes they're even younger and they get on methadone, and they're doing pretty well. And sometimes the doctor will look at that cost benefit and think, Well, this person with fentanyl or whatever could go out and die. And but believe it or not, there is actually a lot of people on methadone that are functioning and they're holding jobs and they have families. You always hear about the horror stories, which, by the way, there are a ton of, because you see a lot of overdoses even on methadone from combining it with things like benzodiazepines, you know, combining it with other drugs. So some of that reputation's true, you know, but there are a lot of people that wouldn't be around today, and, you know, if they didn't have methadone.
Yeah, I understand that. But I've often thought that what do all these drugs, either illicit drugs or the drugs that you prescribe, do to your body over decades? Look, I took thousands and thousands of Quaaludes, I'm sure. Any of my ailments now have anything to do with that? I can't imagine you can get away scot-free by poisoning your body over and over and over. And obviously, when we're in our addiction, we can give a crap what we're doing.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people get into recovery, and a lot of us don't have as long a lifespan, you know, unfortunately.
Sure.
Because of all the abuse that we have done. Now, some of the more damaging ones are things like, believe it or not, if somebody's been doing opiates for a long time, that's probably not going to, unless they have, you know, get an infection of their heart or something like that. Besides the overdose factor, you're probably not going to see a lot of long-term physical ailments from that. But, you know, when you're talking with alcohol, methamphetamine, cocaine, you're seeing things like enlarged hearts, you know, liver.
Liver,
You're seeing increases in cancer from some of the chemicals that are put in. So there's all kinds of ways that this can get us, you know, in the long run. Even if we got clean.
Yeah. And it's scary to get clean. And if you're listening or you're watching and you feel like you're in trouble and you're ready, call Mark and me at 1-888-329-3306. And if you don't even want to come on the air, our wonderful producer, Brett, will take your name and number and we'll call you back. And we will give you options and we will help you. I wish somebody was around when I was doing it to reach out to me and say, I can help you. I was just shunned by everybody at a certain point.
Yeah, and it's the shame around this, right?
Yeah.
You know, the shame is so tough because it keeps a lot of people from, you know, exposing what's going on.
Is the shame more with women than men?
Yes, for some of the reasons is that, you know, unfortunately you see more instances of sexual abuse growing up, which, you know, is very shame based.
Yes.
And also you see things happen when women are out there. You know, some people are raped. Some people have to sell their bodies just to keep their habit going.
Yeah.
So you see more issues crop up with that shame. And again, the difference between guilt and shame is important. Like, guilt is feeling bad about something that we did, and it can be motivating. Shame, while it can be motivating in certain situations, it's feeling like a bad person.
Yeah. It's almost an unrealistic view of yourself But it's real when you're in it.
It is. And I get so many people in early recovery as a therapist that struggle with this, because it's like people do bad things when we're hooked, you know? And they come in.
Oh, I know. Listen, once you come in, you're not an angel. I did some bad things after I was sober.
Me too.
For a while. And then it's sort of, then you start to think, well, this is not cool. You know what I mean?
Like our defects of character up.
Yeah. You know? But the thing with women, I remember in the old days when I came in, it was I didn't see many women in meetings. And I remember at the Institute of the Pennsylvania Hospitals where I got treatment, it was very shameful for a lot of these women. They were, you could tell they were embarrassed. I hope it's different now, you know?
Yeah, the stigma. I mean, I can't even imagine in different times how bad that was. You know, go back to the 50s and 60s and, you know, with housewives that had full-blown addictions. And you know what's fascinating? What? And Mark Willett can probably tell us about this. N.A. had to meet behind closed doors when it was started.
I believe it.
You know, because there was a law out there about addicts congregating. So N.A. couldn't really be, you know, they couldn't have these meetings out in the open.
Let me ask you, did you ever see a clubhouse or anything with a sign that said AA or NA on the outside of it?
No.
No. It's still a little bit back room. It's getting really, really much better.
But it kind of makes us cool, don't you think?
I mean,
it's
cool.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, we like to do back room stuff, I guess. That didn't come out right.
No, Mark, it did. Marty Kobeck is watching. Stephanie DePaul. Oh, here we go. Linda. Oh, Linda, I'm going to ruin your name. I can't even pronounce your middle name, but it's Garrity. Can we leave it at that? Hi, Linda. We are so why don't you call us and let us know how to pronounce your name?
That's a great way to get callers.
1-888-329-3306.
We should just botch names and have them call us.
Exactly. Jane Shapiro, Michael Shoemaker from Tennessee.
Oh, I love that state.
Yeah. Mimi Dorshu, great show. Thank you, Mimi.
What a great person.
Yeah. Debbie Reynolds, Daryl Smith.
Our buddy, Andrea Duffy.
Is it? Where's
and she misses us.
Oh, you know,
she is too.
I want to tell you something. I left Andrea a message in New Year's. I never heard back from her.
Judge Duffy.
Judge, what is going on?
Have we had her in the new studio yet?
No, we have not.
We have.
Oh. We need to.
Brett just chimed in and said we have.
Yeah, we have.
Oh, we have?
Yeah.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, no. It was by phone.
Yes, it was.
It was by phone, Brett.
She owes us a show.
Yeah. She owes us a free pass.
She does.
Out of prison.
I mean, God, she has that Montgomery County corridor. And, man, and I'll tell you, her program, the DARA program, is just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And she's amazing because, you know, if people don't know around the country, obviously, who she is, she's a district justice, and she gives many people the opportunity in her courtroom right then and there to make a decision. You want to go to rehab or you want to go to prison?
It saves lives. It has to save lives all the time.
We're not talking about dealers. We're talking about the people like us in our community who got hooked, you know.
Yeah, and she's talk about striking when the iron's hot. Here it is. Somebody's coming in for a preliminary hearing.
What would you do, Mark?
Busted.
Man, I'd say rehab.
I would say rehab.
Yeah.
I mean,
how about if it was rehab for 60 days or jail for a weekend? That would be hard back then.
That would be tough. But if I guess it depends where you're at. You know, it depends where you're at. Are you motivated at that point or not? Right?
Oh, we got to let's do. Let's
we
take
do
a
have
call.
A caller. Is it somebody fixing their name?
I don't know who it is. Caller, are you there? Yes.
Hello.
I am. It's Alex DeCivo.
Hey, Alex.
Hi,
how
Alex.
Are you?
Good. I've been watching your show for a while.
And where are you calling from?
New Jersey, Monmouth County.
All
right.
That's a good county. Okay.
Yes. I normally watch it from my desk at work.
Yeah.
But I'm home with coronavirus.
Oh, how many days you have to quarantine?
I'm on day 8, and I'm feeling better.
I thought it was only 5 days now.
It is, but I have immune suppression.
Okay.
So I'm sicker.
Okay.
More sick. So I love your discussion on Matt. I operate 3 sober houses in New Jersey, and it's a hot topic for us. You have the Oxford houses, which some take Matt, some don't.
Right.
You got the private guys like me. Some take it, some don't. I originally did not take it. I was one of those big book thumpers.
Yeah.
That's the nice way to put it.
Yeah, okay.
Purist.
Yeah.
And guess who changed my mind?
Who?
Governor Jim McGreevy.
Okay.
Really?
So he came to the House, and we had a debate who was smarter. I ran for the legislature, lost.
Yeah.
He became governor.
Yeah, yeah.
We agreed I was a much better assistant prosecutor than he was.
Are you a prosecutor?
I was. I'm a lawyer like you, sir.
A lawyer like me?
I only have 9 years.
I'm a jailhouse lawyer.
Gary was on the other side of that. But so what did Jim McGreevy, what did he say to you to change your mind?
I view him as a smarter man than me. As I articulate, he went to Georgetown. I only went to George Washington, not that George Washington's bad, but I'm Catholic and I couldn't get into Georgetown. And he said, there's a lot of different ways to get clean. Do you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
And then he goes, there's some people have to do 12 step. Some people do Bible study, right? So mm-hmm. There's a million ways. Yes.
Yep. Yep.
He goes, this is another way. And then his argument that you guys have been saying is, Alex, these kids are dying.
Yeah.
And this keeps them alive.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, I won't tell you that my experience in the house has been great with it.
Mm-hmm.
But my guys have stayed alive, and that was the winning argument.
Yes.
And then what happened, which you might find interesting, in New Jersey around that time, and this is maybe 3 years ago, then New Jersey Drug Court switched and allowed Matt. Which was a game changer for me because where I am in Monmouth County, I get a lot of drug court people.
Interesting.
So I couldn't then do it. So, there's people in our community who argue that it's illegal not to let someone in on mat into recovery houses because you're discriminating against a medical condition prescribed by a legal doctor.
Okay, that's an argument.
Issue, right?
That's an argument, sure.
So we let them in now. My personal suggestion to everyone is to taper off.
Yeah.
But the doctors don't always agree with me.
Well,
I can tell you that I got about 3 guys who have successfully been on mat, maybe over a year, always Suboxone, not methadone, and gotten off it and have led productive lives. I have some failures too, obviously. So all in all, Governor McGreevy's argument to me, keeping people alive, is the one that won, and I hear you guys making it now. And to me, that's the winner.
Are you still in touch?
This week I lost 2.
Are you in touch with the governor?
I am every once in a while. I have his cell, of course.
Oh, we got to get him.
Can you arrange for him to come on this show?
I can certainly give him the information. Yeah. He is the most knowledgeable person of recovery who's not in recovery. He's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's. Look, I know his history, and, you know, he's taken not the most conventional path. So, you know, he's probably been discriminated against and all sorts of nonsense. So he probably
his
feels.
Knowledge of the steps is shocking for someone who I assume never wrote them out. I mean, it's
right.
Mind-boggling.
Wow. Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good to hear. That would be fabulous.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Can you leave your full name and number with our producer when we hang up?
Of course I can.
That would be fabulous. And
love your show.
We'd love to get you on the show also yourself.
And what's your recovery house?
So I own and operate Falcon Recovery.
What's it called again?
Falcon, F-A-L-C-O-N, Recovery in Freehold.
Okay.
And we have 2 other houses under Recovery Road in Long Branch and Ocean.
All right. Would you be willing to, how would somebody get in touch with you?
I'll leave my cell with your producer.
You want to leave it right now on the air?
Sure. My cell's posted. It's 732.
Yeah.
991. Mm-hmm. 1976.
Okay. Also, leave your number with Brett and your full name, and we'll get back to you for sure. What a pleasant phone conversation. Really appreciate it.
Keep up your service.
Yeah. Keep up services, right. All right, have a great weekend, man.
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye. What a great call.
Oh, and it's huge because one of the things you've run into as a therapist is you get guys on MAT where you can't find a recovery house. That's been changing recently for people like Alex, from people like Alex that are you know, assisting with that.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a nice call.
It was a great call. And it's so interesting to hear the governor's perspective.
Yeah. Well, we had a governor on who's, you know, who we had Rendell on, and we're stretching this out. So let's keep the conversation going when we return. Clean and Sober Radio.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Jackie Martling, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. This is still Jackie Martling, and you should listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Everybody should listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You know, Mark, I'm enjoying this show because it's so important for people know that there are options. There's not one way to skin a cat, man. You know, there's not. When I was coming up, there was one way to do it. It's not true. Whatever works for you to get clean and sober. And key is be honest with yourself because you're only fooling yourself.
Yeah, and it'll work for you if you're motivated and you get help with it. You know, so there's a guy named C. Ruger who wants the phone number, 888-329-3306.
What's our phone number?
If you want to go through quicker,
huh?
Right through the speed dial, you would want to do 888-728-9911.
So, yeah. So, anyway, give us a call. Let us know what your thoughts are on medically assisted treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see what else. What else is going on here?
It is fascinating, though, how things have changed over the years.
Yeah. I think the main number that everybody should know about is that 1-800-662-HELP. That's across the country. And they will give you information, whatever you want to know.
And that's 24 hours a day.
It is. It's 24 hours a day. And they're educated people who are answering those phones.
Yeah. I think just to have that number, you know, put it on your refrigerator, you know, have it available because you really don't know when you're going to need it.
It's
know?
Like having a poison control sticker on your refrigerator. You know,
you
know, you're right, Mark. When you need treatment, you don't have to start scrambling to find it because what happens to people like us in our community, if it's difficult in any way, we'll just say, you know, screw it. I'll deal with it later. Later might be your dead.
Yeah, and if you have kids, right? So many people get blindsided by their kids developing an addiction problem. And it comes out all at once, and it's so important to have that number available and have resources.
Okay.
We got a caller.
Got another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Charles.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
You're what?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. I'm hearing an echo. I don't know how you're calling
us. Yeah, me too.
You too?
Yeah.
How about now, Charles?
It's still there.
Okay, good. We hear you now. We hear you. So what's your story, man? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. Welcome. It took me like 40 years to get straight. And, you know, I was kind of a junk box, a lot of liquor,
yeah,
a lot of cocaine, a lot of pills.
Mm-hmm.
But the subject you're talking about, I went to Living Grid back 4.5 years ago.
Great.
And I think they gave me the Vivitrol for like a year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And that really helped me to get myself together. And I just took it for 1 year and just came off. And just worked my program real hard. Have a home group called New Beginnings out of Stephen Carpenter in South Philly.
All right.
Nice.
All right. South Philly, man.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll tell you something. We haven't had too many people. We'd love to have you come on this show. You know that?
Tell your story.
Yeah, would you like to do that?
Sure, sure.
I mean, you know where we are? You know where we're broadcasting out of?
Say that again?
You know where we're broadcasting live? We're broadcasting live off of City Avenue.
Okay.
Out of Philly, you know.
Okay.
When we hang up, would you give your name and your number to our producer, Brett, when we hang up?
Sure.
Anyway,
sure.
So it sounds like your program was exactly what MAT is designed to do. You're on it for a while, you get your brain rewired, and then you move on with the program.
Yes. Because when I was in Living Grid, they were like, you're eligible for a program. So I had to go sit and talk to the nurse and talk to the counselor.
Right.
And I said, well, I'll try it, you know, because I wanted to do anything. I was 57. You know, I've been trying since high school to get clean.
Wow.
You know, so I'm 62 now, and it helped me a lot.
Beautiful.
That's such an awesome.
It's a perfect story. You know that?
Yes.
All right. Listen, Charles, we're going to hang up. We got another couple callers coming in. Leave your name, please, with our producer. And I promise you, either me or Mark, we'll get back to you.
Thanks for the call.
Really appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. Okay. That's good.
Vivitrol is amazing. Yeah. I've seen some. So many stories like this, and it's not addictive. So, somebody can go in, detox, at discharge, get on Vivitrol, and it's just a blocker, and there's no mind or mood-altering effects to it.
That's a beautiful...
So you can feel comfortable being on it and sharing it, 12-step meetings. And
that's fabulous. Danielle Howell is watching, but right now we have another caller on the line. Okay. James, are you there?
James?
Hey.
What's up, James?
Hey, Jimmy.
Oh,
hey,
it's Jimmy.
How you doing?
He tricked
it. I'm doing well.
You see, he tricked us with his name because he thought he couldn't get through.
Oh, is that what?
How are you feeling? Jim, how are you feeling?
My middle name.
How are you feeling?
Because I'm such a colorful character. I'm in the box of 64.
All right. Very good.
How's your knee?
My knee's feeling nicely. I'm still in therapy.
You're cutting in and out, man.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yep.
That's better.
Yeah. We got one minute. We got 1 minute, then we're gonna have to go.
I know.
So you're feeling good?
I'm feeling much better. Yes.
All right, real quick. How did you get into treatment?
How did I get into treatment? I put my hands in somebody else's hands and followed their plan. 2013.
Wow.
All right.
Good deal, man.
So, and that's how I went up in South Florida at first step because I trusted somebody else.
Good, yeah. Okay, that's hard to do is to trust other people while you're in your addiction.
Right, but it would work for me.
Good. All right, brother. Listen, Jim, thanks for calling in. We appreciate your support every single week. We hope you feel great. And one of these days, we'll get you in here. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. God bless you guys.
Bless you, too.
You too, Jim. Feel better.
All right.
He's a good man.
All right, thanks.
He's a good guy.
He really is.
Good guy. Brett, how much time we got?
And,
two.
You know, he brought up this whole idea of turning it over to other people because we're
That's
not
hard.
Thinking with clarity when we're in it.
That's hard to do, man.
It's huge.
Let's see if we're missing anybody real
Mike
quick.
Hepp. He wants to get us to Florida.
Mike, come on, bro.
For the season opener to do a show live in Gainesville.
We got to get him back here. He gave me a hat and a jacket. I was actually looking at it last week.
Really?
Yeah, he definitely did. We're coming up, I think, pretty close to the end of this show.
We got to get him on and talk some big book.
Listen, he has our numbers.
He does.
All right, Mike?
Mike is a great
Mike,
dude.
Are you tough enough to go against Mark? And
He's not going to go against me. He's going to go against you, Gary.
Oh, okay.
I'm sitting on the side over
here. Oh, no, you're not. I know you're feeling. Listen, as we said, whatever works is how
Absolutely.
It should be.
Absolutely.
You know? Okay.
Thank God it's Friday.
Yep. Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.